I appreciate young men who study the Bible and are willing to stand before us and share thoughts with us, as Brother Jacob has done tonight. Appreciate that, Brother Jacob. And he's been keeping good company out in Iowa. He's been going to church out there and been with a good pastor. But we sure are glad to have him back here this weekend with us. And thank you for sharing these thoughts with us tonight. He brought to my mind a scripture that is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, where the Apostle Paul would say, neither give place to the devil. That's quite a text right there. Neither give place to the devil. How would we give place to the devil? Well, by inviting him into our lives and allowing him to deceive us and guide us in our thoughts. And you and I should not do that. Adam and Eve did, and it brought a world of trouble, didn't it? They gave place to the devil. And all through Scripture, we read about people who gave place to the devil. And God gave us at Mount Sinai what we call the Ten Commandments. And a perfect God gave a perfect law that demands a perfect life. Anybody in the house think you've ever met that? Somebody asked the question one time, why would God give the Ten Commandments knowing beforehand that man could not keep them? Because God was not going to lower his character and his standards just because we're sinners. He didn't do that. But what he did for us was send his Son down here to keep those commandments for us. And he did perfectly. And his perfect righteousness has been put to our account. That's what gets us into heaven, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul would say in Corinthians, he who knew no sin, that was Jesus, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when Satan comes at you and accuses you and tempts you and all of that, may I suggest that you say to him, look, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get out of here. Leave me alone. There's no place in my life for you. Give no place for the devil. Give no place to the devil. Now the Ten Commandments are wonderful. As I say, a perfect God gave them, and you and I would be blessed as we observe them, but of course none of us are going to even come close to keeping them perfectly. But I want to just say tonight, beloved, we're not under the law. Jesus was born under the law. He kept the law and satisfied the demands of the law on behalf of his elect family. And he has now given us his righteousness. But we're under grace. And grace is so much more wonderful than the law. See, the law says, thou shalt not. 10 times. God says, thou shalt not. But grace comes along and says, thou shalt. Let's look here in Ephesians just a moment tonight. Paul would say in verse 28, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That's the law. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The law says, don't steal. Grace says work and give. Y'all see the difference between the law and grace? So, you know, somebody told me the other night, said, "Brother Sam, you told us that if we look puzzled, that means you got to preach longer. So y'all don't look too puzzled." I hope y'all got that. See, the law says thou shalt not steal, but grace says thou shalt give. But in order to be able to give, you need to work. Let him that stole steal no more. That's good, isn't it? Good advice. Don't be stealing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Isn't it a blessing when you come across somebody that needs something and you can actually help them? The Bible says it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. Y'all are tired, aren't you? No, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You may say, "Now, Brother Sam, I've got a great capacity for receiving, and I want you to have the greatest blessing, so just give me." But you see, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I tell you, there's no greater blessing in this world than to be able to give to somebody that is really in need. That just blesses you all over. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? I mentioned today at Oak Grove, when you see people along the highway and they got a sign, and they're asking for money because they're hungry, it's hard for me not to give them something. Now, they may take what you give and go buy cigarettes or beer or whatever. That's between them and God. But it always makes me feel better to give them a little something. What about y'all? It just does. Especially veterans. That really touches me. We have a lot of homeless veterans in America. Men who were called on by our country to go and serve in foreign lands. A lot of them left legs and arms on battlefields, and they've come back, and our country, sadly, in ways has failed them. And when you see somebody like that, don't you want to just help them a little? Don't you want to do something for them? And when you do, I want to tell you, you get a blessing out of it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a lot better than stealing. Stealing is sowing to the flesh. Giving is sowing to the spirit. And then he would say in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That's the law. The law says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Whether it's profanity or whether it's gossip, whatever it is, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Did you know God has given us the ability to control our mouth? You say, "Brother Sam, it's hard." Yes, it is. The Bible says no man has ever tamed the tongue, but you can bridle it. How many of y'all are good at bridling the tongue? It's a job, isn't it? But Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Don't gossip. Don't use profanity. Don't talk harshly and mean-spirited to people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's the law. But grace says, "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Grace teaches us to speak kindly to one another. You see the difference in law and grace? Law tells us what not to do. Grace tells us what to do. And then he says in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Beloved, you and I have been blessed to be born of the Holy Spirit. God in his goodness visited at us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we were quickened from death and sin to life in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is what did it. It wasn't the gospel. It wasn't mom or dad or anyone else. It was the Holy Spirit that quickened us from death unto life. Jesus told Nicodemus how you're born again. The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is teaching us there what anybody in nature would know, that the wind goes where it pleases. None of us have a steering wheel on the wind. You can't turn the wind. I don't care how much you want it to blow or how much you don't want it to blow. It's going to blow where it pleases. So it is with the Spirit of God. How many of y'all are glad the Holy Spirit came to you at some point in your life and quickened you from death in sin to life in Jesus Christ? Paul said in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened. That word quicken means to make alive. You do no injustice to that scripture to say, and you hath he made alive. It's the same. And you hath he made alive. Have you ever cut your fingernails and got down into the quick where there's feeling, there's life? That's what he's talking about. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I praise him tonight that in his goodness and mercy he visited me and quickened me from death in sin to life in Jesus Christ. Gave me spiritual life. Now, I don't want to turn around and grieve the Holy Spirit that quickened me. The Holy Spirit's the best friend you and I've got on this planet tonight. Jesus said, if I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, beloved, you and I don't want to grieve that Spirit. And you know how we can grieve the Spirit? By giving place to the devil. By flirting with the devil. By reading things we shouldn't read. Or watching things we shouldn't watch. Things on our telephones that we shouldn't be dealing with at all. We don't need to give place to the devil. You know, if you back up to earlier in this chapter, he would say in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The Holy Spirit is grieved with us when we tell lies. When we just deliberately tell somebody a lie, the Holy Spirit is grieved. I know lies can be convenient. I understand that. Pastor asked a little fellow one time, said, what is a lie? He said, it's a very convenient help in time of trouble. But I want to tell you, when you and I tell a lie, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. We're to speak the truth. He says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. And then he says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, the Bible does not say that being angry is a sin. Jesus Christ got angry. He got angry in the temple when the money changers were in there. And they were profiting on people. You know, people would bring a lamb to the priest to be offered. And the crooked priest would examine it and say, there's a flaw in this lamb. He cannot be offered. And so they would take that lamb and set it aside and sell the family another lamb to make money. And then another family come and they take the lamb they said was flawed and sell it to them. They were money changers. And when our Savior walked in the temple and saw that, it angered him so much. You remember what he did? He turned their tables over and drove them out with a whip. Would you say he was angry? Sounds to me like he was. There's nothing wrong with you and me being angry. over the right thing. There is a righteous anger on this earth. Y'all ever get angry when you hear about a baby being aborted? That's a wicked thing, isn't it? We have legalized abortion in this country, the murder of innocent children. We've legalized homosexuality. I got angry yesterday. A friend of mine sent me a text about Auburn University. 200 students were baptized there. You all may have seen this in the news. And the coach of the Auburn football team went into the lake to help baptize them. Now, we wouldn't agree with their doctrine. We wouldn't accept their baptism. But I want to tell you, it blessed me to know 200 students at Auburn University would walk into the water and be baptized. Because you know what baptism speaks of? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I understand we wouldn't agree with their doctrine, but I want to tell you, I respect their courage on a modern university campus to go into water and be baptized. But he sent me another text today, and Auburn University is now being scalded by the liberals for allowing such. That just made me angry. Does that make y'all, is there anything in the world that can make you angry? But when you get angry, he says, sin not. Be angry and sin not. See, he never did say, be ye loving and sin not, because love is so far away from anger, you don't have to worry about it. But when you get angry, you're pretty close to being sinful. So he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. When you harbor anger in your heart, and you harbor offenses, and you carry that anger around with you, you know what it does? It leads right into sin. And you're giving place to the devil. Be very careful with your temper, with your anger. And so, he would say, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And when you and I harbor anger and unforgiveness in our hearts, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Neither give place to the devil. And now I'll close with this down in verse 31. Let's look at this. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, my soul, God, help me not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because I need the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says here in the Ephesian letter, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. I desperately need the Holy Spirit. I cannot fight the good fight of faith without the Holy Spirit being in me. I can't bear the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit abiding in me. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all want to do something that you know is going to grieve your best friend? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. He would say, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I'm going to read that again. I bet some of y'all missed it. Brother Wynn told us, by the way, we got a visiting elder with us tonight, Brother Wynn Cook. And Brother Wynn told us you can go to church and sit there and your mind be elsewhere. Your mind can be elsewhere. I've been there. Probably was some this weekend. So I'm going to read it again in case y'all weren't present when I read it then. He said, let all bitterness. Are y'all capable of being bitter? You know, the root of bitterness can spring up, Paul said to the Hebrews, and it'll defile many. Now, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I tell you how we ought to live. We ought to live just like Jesus was right next to us bodily. Boy, that would straighten us up, wouldn't it? I heard about a lady one time. She said she and her husband were into it. I mean, they were having the biggest fuss. I mean, they were lighting into one another, and the pastor knocked at the front door And she went to the front door and said, "Pastor, it's so good to see you. Come in." It changed everything. Now, if the pastor could do that, or your brother or your sister, let's just know the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, right? Where y'all going to go where Jesus isn't, where the Holy Spirit isn't? They said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, He's there. You're not going to hide from Him, and you don't want to hide from Him. I think I said last Sunday night, "Thou God seest me." Isn't that wonderful? To know His eye is on us all the time. So He said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, and let all of this depart from us." And then that's the law tells us not to be bitter and wrathful and angry and clamorous and evil speaking. But then He says, the grace of God, you know what the grace of God tells us? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. You know what the grace of God taught me a long time ago? Paul said to the Titus, he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." God's grace brought salvation to us. It's a gift. And there's no carrying charges. You don't even have to pay the one that brought it. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Now what does grace teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace taught me that when I was a boy. Now, I haven't always been a good student, but I want to be. Be ye kind. God is kind to us. How many of y'all believe God is kind to you? Has He ever been kind to you? I want to tell you, He was kind when He gave His Son to die for me on the cross. He didn't have to do that. But out of His goodness and kindness, He gave His only Son to die. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. I want to tell you, hard-heartedness is dangerous. Israel in the wilderness got hard-hearted. And oh, they brought God's judgment on them. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I think I told you all last Sunday morning here that Brother Adam Green, when he was delivering the charge to Nelda's granddaughter, Emma, and her husband, that was his text. It was a short wedding, I'm telling you, it was. But Brother, he got right to the point. He said, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Every couple needs that. Every church member needs that. Every neighbor needs that. Tender heart. Forgiving one another. How? When they get down and beg and crawl to us? No. Be ye kind, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. You know why God forgave us? It was for Jesus' sake. It wasn't that we deserved it. It was for Jesus' sake. You remember Mephibosheth in the Old Testament? David loved Jonathan. They were best friends. But Jonathan had died in battle. And David couldn't show Jonathan any kindness. But he asked the question, "Is there any of the household of Jonathan that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Do y'all remember that story? It's one of those beautiful stories in the Old Testament. And his servant said, "Yeah, there's one left, Mephibosheth. He's a young boy. He was dropped by his nurse when he was a little lad, and his legs are broken. He can't walk. But he's Jonathan's son." And David said, "Fetch him. Bring him to the king's house. I'm going to sit him at the king's table. And I'm going to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. See, Mephibosheth didn't deserve that. And you know, you and I are represented by, y'all know who represents us? That boy with broken legs. He was living in Lodebar. I think that's the name of the country he was in, which means a dry, desolate place. This crippled lad was living in a desert. And the king's servant went and got him and fetched him and brought him to the king's palace and set him down at the king's table. And those broken legs were hidden by the table. And there he sat at the king's table. And you know why? For Jonathan's sake. And the only reason you and I are going to heaven is for Jesus' sake. Do y'all get that? I want to teach. I want to communicate the truth where y'all can get it, take it home with you, and digest it. And live by it. Let's be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. You know why we've been forgiven? Because of a man on a cross 2,000 years ago. And now, if God can forgive us, I think we ought to be able to forgive one another. That's what grace teaches us, isn't it? Grace is an amazing teacher. The grace of God teaches us. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to close. I'm going to quote it one more time. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And I believe that grace is Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That is, we're not going to sow to the flesh, as Brother Jacob taught us tonight. But we're going to sow to the Spirit. The grace of God taught me to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And listen, that's the good life. Jesus didn't just come down here so we could go to heaven when we die. He came down here to show us how to live while we're down here. And Paul said, he said in chapter 5, he said, be you followers of God. Now, how are we going to follow God? God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. We can't be like that, but I'll tell you one thing. God is good, He's merciful, He's loving, and He's kind. And I can follow Him. Those are communicable attributes of God that you and I can actually follow in. You want to bless America? You want to bless your home? You want to bless your family? You want to bless this church? You want to bless this community? Follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus. We need it in America, I'm telling you. These are dark, evil times we are in. We need every Christian we can get. I'm telling you, we do. We need every godly person we can get. And one person can make a big difference. Amen. One person. 10 could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. You could be that one person that could help turn things around in this country. May God help us to do so. Thank y'all for your good attention.